case of the day. You certainly may. I'm just going to announce the title of the case. Environmental Law and Policy Center versus the United States Nuclear Regulatory Commission.
Thank you, Your Honor. I didn't mean to step on your announcement.
No, that's a big part of my job. I don't want to.
Good morning, and may it please the Court. This appeal is about the Nuclear Regulatory Commission's violation of the NEPA requirement to rigorously explore and objectively evaluate all reasonable clean energy alternatives to a proposed new nuclear power plant. The Simmons decision sets forth the law of this circuit for the required NEPA alternatives analysis. The NRC may not adopt Exelon's private, self-serving business goal to control the public process and foreclose fair and reasonable consideration of all reasonable alternatives. The NRC argues it must accept Exelon's narrow and constricted project goal definition, which stacks the deck in favor of the proposed nuclear plant. Simmons makes clear that this approach, and I'll quote, is a losing position in the Seventh Circuit. NEPA requires an agency to evaluate alternative means to accomplish the general goal of an action. In Simmons, that meant meeting the public's water needs, here the public's future energy services. That allows, as Simmons said, a wider range of alternatives. The general goal, wider range of alternatives, a narrow goal, not much in the way of alternatives. Simmons holds, and I'll quote, an agency cannot restrict its analysis to the means by which a particular applicant can reach its goals, and under NEPA must exercise a degree of skepticism in dealing with the self-serving statements from a prime beneficiary of the project. It's 120 F3rd at 669. But that's exactly what the NRC did in this case. The NRC violated Simmons. The NRC blindly adopted Exelon's narrow private business goals and that definition to exclude energy efficiency and exclude, in a meaningful way, wind power from the reasonable consideration of alternatives. Faced with Simmons, which doesn't permit this skewing of the NEPA alternatives process, the NRC said that it would rely upon a different standard, the standard of the City of Burlington versus Busey decision that's in another circuit. Appendix 6, the NRC called Busey the leading case, even though this circuit explicitly rejected Busey in the Simmons decision. If you turn to appendix page 34, the licensing board's order, they avoid the Simmons general goal holding and rely instead on the completely different standard in Busey. What the licensing board says, page 19 of its order, that's appendix 34, an agency need not consider alternative ways to achieve a general goal. It should instead focus upon evaluating the alternative means by which a particular applicant reaches its goals. In other words, the NRC said Busey, not Simmons, controls in this case, and that the NRC can rely on Exelon's very specific business goal rather than the general goal, as Simmons says. That is plainly legal error. This circuit's Simmons decision at page 669 rejects the Busey standard upon which the NRC and the licensing board explicitly rely. They adopt Exelon's private business goal, a 2,180 megawatt baseload power generation that runs all the time. The largest power plant in Illinois right now, nuclear plant, is half that size. So they've defined it in a way that's 2,180 megawatts, about twice as big as any nuclear plant in Illinois, that's baseload power generation that runs all the time. That's exactly what NEPA does not allow. That's exactly what this circuit and Simmons said cannot be done. It controls and constrains the NEPA-required searching inquiry into all reasonable alternatives to meet the public needs. The NRC applied the wrong legal standard. It excluded a fair and full consideration of reasonable clean energy alternatives. That violates NEPA.
Before you go further, I want you to discuss the jurisdictional issue here, because I don't understand why you wouldn't be able to initiate the same appeal after you get the final ESP, after that ESP is granted. I mean, isn't this appeal premature at this point? Because isn't there a possibility that the ESP will be denied on some other ground? And, I mean, that should that happen? I mean, this is really premature, isn't it?
I disagree it's premature, but you're correct, Your Honor. The ESP could be denied on some other ground. But what the NRC did was dismiss petitioner's contention by granting summary disposition. They terminated my client's participation in the proceeding.
Right,
that
but
final.
Right, no, but I mean, wouldn't you have an opportunity to go back and file a new lawsuit once the ESP is out?
Your Honor, there was a risk of us being caught betwixt and between here, of the NRC and Exelon arguing we're either too early or too late. We believe that under the Hobbs Act, that the order that terminated our participation, dismissed us from the proceeding, was final. As we say at page 5 of our reply brief, it's akin to the denial of intervention, the Florida Power and Light case. The proceeding was over, final, with regard to my client. Therefore, we appealed. We think we have, under the Hobbs Act, an obligation to appeal at that point and could face a waiver claim later. That having been said, if nonetheless the court believes that this is too early and the appropriate time for an appeal is after the ESP is decided, what we would ask you to do is to dismiss the appeal without prejudice or simply hold it over until the ESP decision, which is now expected in mid-2007. We appealed in good faith. We could not be caught in the position of somebody later arguing that that decision was final with regard to petitioners, and therefore, by not appealing at that point, our rights were waived.
Well, you would agree that certainly the record would be more thorough, and we'd have more to examine in the record if the ESP had been completed.
Your Honor, I'm not sure that's the case on the contention we raised. We raised a clean energy contention. That was the total scope of our intervention. With regard to that clean energy contention, the NRC has said, case over. There are other issues in the ESP that we aren't involved with. The NRC will make whatever decisions it makes. But with regard to the environmental impact statement, with regard to the clean energy contention, the NRC has ruled, it's final, and no, I don't believe there will be any difference in the final ESP. The ESP will have different information. I believe that our appeal at the time of the issuance of the ESP will be very much the same as it is now because the record with regard to this issue has been closed. But as I said before, if the court decides that we ought to wait, we ask that you do so in a way, and we believe the case law is such that you do so without prejudice to our appeal. We couldn't get caught. You know, we're either too early or we're too late here.
Getting back to this generating baseload power, which is where you were when I asked you about jurisdictional matters, assuming that generating baseload power is an acceptable purpose, are there alternative energy sources you identify that are capable of satisfying this purpose?
Yes, Your Honor, we have, and those have been knocked out. But let me go back to that assumption. That's exactly what Simmons says cannot be done. This circuit has said under Simmons that you have to look at a general goal, not the very specific self-serving goal of the project applicant, because that will narrow the range of alternatives. Energy efficiency is the flip side of generation. If you have more efficient lighting, more efficient heating, air conditioning, and refrigeration, then you reduce the amount of generation that's needed. It's hand in hand, it works together. So in constructing a reasonable set of alternatives, the appropriate way to do under NEPA, a rigorous exploration and objective evaluation of all reasonable alternatives, a searching inquiry under NEPA. The way to do that is to look broadly rather than narrowly. What the NRC did with regard to wind power was they said Exelon's definition here is 2,000 megawatts or more of baseload generating power. That excludes energy efficiency. We'll take that out. Then they said runs all the time. Wind power is going up all over Illinois right now. There's a 400-megawatt wind farm going up about 25 miles from the Clinton 2 site. But since it doesn't run all the time, they defined that out of the alternatives. The problem here is that the way in which the NRC chose to define the alternatives was based on its view, Appendix 34, page 19 of the Licensing Board decision, reflected in the briefs, that it was appropriate under the Busey standard to use a narrow, specific goal and to adopt the project applicant's goal. That's what they did here. When they did that and they took that very specific limiting goal, they excluded energy efficiency. They, in effect, excluded wind power by giving it a zero value when it came to megawatts. They didn't do what NEPA requires. The whole purpose of NEPA, as Judge Flom's opinion in Merida about 10 years ago said, is to get all the evidence there. It's to fully inform the decision-makers' process. It's to fully inform the public so that the public can engage in the decision-making process, both before the NRC and other public bodies. What the NRC did here was they violated NEPA's required rigorous exploration and objective evaluation by completely excluding consideration of cost-effective, reasonable energy efficiency alternatives from the combination of alternatives and by giving wind power zero credit in terms of megawatts. In effect, the NRC took a no-look rather than NEPA's required hard look when it came to energy efficiency alternatives. Contrary to Simmons, the law of this circuit, the NRC impermissibly adopted Exelon's self-defined business goal, stacked the deck by taking energy efficiency and wind power in a practical way out of the alternatives analysis, skewed the environmental impacts analysis by doing that because it didn't meet Exelon's self-defined, we want to build a nuclear power plant definition of the goal. That can't be done here. Okay, why does Simmons make sense in light of all this? And why should Simmons apply here in the Seventh Circuit rather than Busey, which the NRC applied? You know, first of all, this is the Seventh Circuit. Simmons is the law of the circuit. Busey is not. We haven't sandbagged this. We've told the NRC about Simmons in comments on a repeated basis. And Simmons makes sense. This court, well, let me back up. The nuclear power plant here at issue is in the Seventh Circuit. It's in Illinois. The NRC has an office here. The petitioners are here. We're all here. It's the Seventh Circuit's geography. The court in Simmons explicitly rejected the Busey approach, and for good reason. Accepting the project applicant's limiting goal as governing the public watchdog agency's NEPA review totally undermines, it constricts the required rigorous exploration and objective evaluation of alternatives. It can be used, as it was in this case, to preclude the hard look at reasonable energy efficiency alternatives. There's no disagreement on the record. The NRC knocked out any consideration of energy efficiency alternatives. This is not a case in which petitioners below said, we believe, based on the robust case that we've presented, that the NRC should have accepted this set of A, B, C, D, E, F, and G energy efficiency alternatives. The NRC accepted A, B, and C and rejected D, E, and F, and we're arguing before you whether they abused their discretion in terms of how they did it. That's not the case here. This is a case where the NRC applied the wrong legal standard, used that to keep the public out of the process, not consider the information, not do the full-searching inquiry, and then reach a decision later that the alternatives were not good enough.
When Simmons reached this court, the process was much further along, was it not, the process here?
When Simmons reached this court, I believe, the
Army... It reached this court a couple of times.
Yeah.
But when it... The status of the situation at the time Simmons was announced, this is follow-up, I guess, to Judge Williams' question regarding jurisdiction. It seems to me, and tell me if I'm wrong, that the process Simmons was much further along than this. This seems like first of a number of steps that have to be taken before...
Your Honor, Simmons was further along by definition, because if I recall the case correctly, Judge Gilbert below had issued a decision which went on appeal to the Seventh Circuit. So by very definition, Simmons was the agency action, district court, court of appeals. Under the Hobbs Act, NRC decisions go directly to the courts of appeals. So Simmons, in that regard, was further along. But regarding the jurisdictional question here, as a practical matter, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission has dismissed petitioners' claims. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission, their words, terminated our case. They've said case over for the interveners with respect to raising our clean energy alternatives before the commission. We are akin to the situation of a denial of intervention, which under the Florida Power and Light case is a situation in which you can appeal directly to the court. Again, though, having been said, if you know the court believes it wants to defer this, we just ask that it be done without prejudice, so we're not caught in this position of we were either too early or too late.
I'd like to say the NRC didn't disregard Simmons. It's your view they just misread it, right?
Your Honor, no. The NRC explicitly made a ruling that energy efficiency alternatives could not be presented in the case. They excluded it. The NRC took the legal standard of Busey. They said under Busey, it's up to the private business goal. Because the business goal was to generate power, they said that energy efficiency wasn't generation, therefore it's out. We're not disagreeing with what the this is not the case where they did this, we put in this, there is other evidence, and there's a disagreement. They closed the doors, in effect, of the courthouse.
Well, I understand.
Energy efficiency was kept out altogether.
Yeah, but this isn't a case where Simmons isn't cited by the NRC, right? I just want to get your view of,
yeah,
of how
Simmons, of course. Yeah. The NRC has cited Simmons. The NRC has said very clearly, and I'll direct you to the appendix at 34 and 35 and the appendix at pages 5 and 6. They have said Busey is the leading case. Appendix 34 will apply the Busey standard, namely specific goal coming in from the applicant rather than general goal. That's what we're going to apply here. They simply said, under their view, Busey was controlling, Simmons was not. Busey's the leading case, in their words. It says specific versus general. Simmons says the opposite. They applied the wrong legal standard. Your Honor, I want to answer your questions. I also would like to at least keep a couple minutes for rebuttal, if I might.
All right.
This court should find the NRC violated NEPA and the Simmons holding by relying on Exelon's private business goals to preclude a rigorous exploration and objective evaluation of all reasonable alternatives. They said there are no material and genuine issues in dispute. They certainly are. This court should reverse and remand to the NRC for a full and fair searching inquiry into energy efficiency, wind power, and other clean energy alternatives in combination. That's what NEPA requires under Simmons, 120 F. 3rd at 666. Simmons is the law of the circuit, not Busey. The NRC applied the wrong legal standard and excluded the evidence.
I just have one question, and Judge Flom won't hold this against you,
okay.
I don't think.
If, Your Honor, I'm here
jurisdic-
for the court.
I know, but back to jurisdiction, what harm would it be if we deferred and found no jurisdiction at this point? I understand you'd have to file another lawsuit, but what harm?
Your Honor,
if we
I don't believe there would be any harm to petitioners.
To you, I mean, you're right.
I don't believe there would be any harm to petitioners so long as the court made clear in this order, in its order, that the lawsuit was dismissed without prejudice so that we could file the appeal at the time that the ESP is done, or if you just simply carried the case over. I don't believe that there's harm. We filed in good faith at the time that we did because we simply couldn't be caught in that position of waiting till the ESP was issued and then, with all due respect, one or the other of the parties arguing, you know, that was final back then, you're too late. We have to either we couldn't be either too early or too late. We had to have our chance to appeal.
Thank you.
Let me ask you, just okay. before you go through all this rigmarole here, it seems to me that, tell me, did you ask the government if they would waive any objection to finality here if you withheld an appeal and waited till further proceedings developed in the case?
I don't believe we specifically asked, Your Honor. We filed the appeal. Nobody from either the government or Exelon called us up or asked, you know, would you agree to do it later? The first we heard of any objection on jurisdiction was in the responsive brief by the government. Let me note, the Exelon brief concedes jurisdiction. The NRC objects to jurisdiction. Mm-hmm.
The lawyering has been very substantial in this case. A lot of work
has been, Your Honor, and I suspect that if you were to dismiss without prejudice, would leave to reinstate, or simply on a jurisprudential basis hold this case over. I suspect we've pretty much filed most of our briefs on the subject.
When would it be anticipated, Mr. Lerner, that ESP would be
appropriately addressed to the NRC? My understanding is that May of 2007 is the current target date.
So all right, that's good. Thank you.
That's my understanding.
All right.
If I might have just a couple minutes for rebuttal, I'd appreciate it.
You will have that.
Thank you, Your Honors.
All right. Mr. Heck?
Good morning. May it please the Court. I'm Jared Heck for the United States Nuclear Regulatory Commission. I just would like to clarify a couple of points in response to the petitioner's opening argument. I did speak with Mr. Fisk of the Environmental Law and Policy Center about the finality issue. I did not speak with Mr. Lerner, so he may not have been aware of that phone call. But I raised the possibility with Mr. Fisk that this was not a final order that could be appealed. And that is the threshold question in this case, as the judges have noted, whether there's jurisdiction to hear the petition for review. Under the Hobbs Act, a party aggrieved may seek review of a final NRC order within 60 days of that order. In this case, petitioners were parties to the NRC proceeding below. Under the NRC's hearing rules, once they showed standing and submitted one admissible contention, they are admitted as parties. The licensing board decision at the appendix pages 79 and 80 makes those findings. Having been admitted as parties, then they're entitled to seek review of the outcome of the NRC's licensing proceeding. But the outcome has not yet been reached. No early site permit has been issued. There was summary disposition granted of one issue, and that was the so-called combination of non-nuclear alternatives contention. But there is a larger licensing proceeding ongoing. This order the petitioners seek review of didn't fix any duties or obligations of the applicant, of the petitioner. That's not going to have any real-world effect. No earth will be moved. No structures will be built. And there's still a possibility, although perhaps unlikely, that the proceeding could be reopened if new facts come to light, the contested portion of the proceeding, I should say. Now, petitioners argued for an exception to the Hobbs Act's general rule, saying that they're functionally denied intervention in this case. And it's true there is an exception for those who are wrongly denied intervention. Those persons have been denied their party status, therefore review is appropriate immediately. Having been denied party status, they can't wait until the end of the proceeding to seek review. But as I said, petitioners were admitted as parties here, and so there's no reason to apply the exception.
Mr. Heck, what about Mr. Lerner's position? As I understand it, that his issue is final. That I appreciate your comment that, you know, perhaps something could change, the world could tilt on its axis on the evidence, but that for all intents and purposes, it's...
That's right. I think that's a fair characterization. For two independent reasons, I might note, the commission concluded that energy conservation was not an alternative that needed to be considered in the environmental review. The petitioners address only the Simmons purpose statement justification, but the record shows there's an independent and alternative justification that arises out of the NRC's own regulations on what issues should be considered in an early site permit proceeding. I think... Mr. Lerner said, evaluating energy conservation involves an analysis of whether power is needed and how much power is needed. That helps us determine how big the power plant should be. But in an early site permit proceeding, NRC rules in Part 52 of Title 10 of the Code of Federal Regulations exclude evaluation of the need for power. And there's good reason for doing that. We don't evaluate whether power is needed now because there's no proposal to actually build or construct a plant. Exelon has applied for approval of a site, that this site may be considered suitable for the eventual construction of a plant. And that approval, if granted, is good for 20 years. So between the time an early site permit is approved and the time a proposal comes in to build something that will generate power, there could be significant changes in demand, in energy conservation technologies, in supply. And so it makes little sense to analyze the public's need for power now at this stage. The NRC will analyze that need for power when the proposal to actually build a plant comes in. I think if petitioners want the rules changed to require that analysis, they need to file a petition for rulemaking. They can't collaterally attack the NRC's regulations in a licensing proceeding. I'd like to move now to the, I think, petitioner's central argument that Simmons prohibits the NRC from adopting the purpose that it did in this case, and that purpose was the generation of baseload power. The licensing board cited Simmons and synthesized Simmons with Busey. I don't think it's right to say that we totally rejected Simmons in this case. Simmons, I think at its core, stands for a non-controversial proposition that you cannot artificially narrow the statement of purpose to exclude consideration of reasonable alternatives. The record shows in this case that the NRC considered a wide range of alternatives, not only alternative sites, but alternative generation technologies like wind, coal, hydropower, and the list goes on. The NRC even analyzed the combination of alternatives the petitioners complained was omitted from the initial environmental reports. And I think it's worth noting as well that in the Simmons case, the Army Corps of Engineers argued in that case that it was required to adopt the applicant's statement of its project purpose. And the court pointed that out, that the Corps' argument that it must adopt the statement of purpose proffered by an applicant is a losing proposition. That was not the NRC's position. In the Commission's order, appendix pages 7 and 8, it noted that the NRC takes the applicant's purpose into account. If Exelon had come to our agency and said, our purpose is to build a 2,180 megawatt nuclear power plant on the Clinton site, we wouldn't have accepted that as a reasonable statement of purpose because it generates no alternatives for evaluation.
Well, doesn't having generating baseload power as the purpose effectively shield any nuclear project from inquiry into whether alternative energy sources would be preferable? By using that terminology is so broad.
No, Your Honor. There are alternative energy sources that can generate large amounts of power at a nearly continuous output. Coal, natural gas, for example, potentially also a combination of wind, solar, and some fossil fuel portion could achieve that objective. And all of those alternatives were evaluated in the staff's draft environmental impact statement. Now, there was one other contention that was admitted to the NRC's proceeding below, and that was about whether the data considered in the environmental impact statement was accurate, whether the NRC did a thorough job in its evaluation. The petitioners haven't really argued that point here today, but I would encourage the court, if it has questions about the materiality analysis, to ask me now or to go and review the licensing board's decision, which deals with it in some detail at appendix pages 44 to 70. With that, I will conclude my argument unless there are further questions.
Apparently not. Thank you, Mr. Heck. Mr. France?
Good morning. My name is Steve France. I am counsel for Exelon Generation Company, the applicant in this case. I'd like first to address some of Judge Williams' questions regarding jurisdiction. First of all, you asked whether there was a possibility that the ESP could be denied on other grounds. I think the answer there is there's no practical possibility. In cases like this, over the last 40 years, the NRC has never denied a license. In an uncontested case where the NRC staff has agreed with the applicant that the license should be issued. So I'd say there's essentially no possibility in this case either. You also asked, would the record be more thorough if the ESP had been issued? I think the answer, again, there is no. On the issue of the alternatives, the record here is complete and final. We don't see any change in that record just because the ESP is going to be issued a few months from now. We believe that the facts will be the same, the briefs will be the same. Nothing will have changed if you deny jurisdiction in this case. You also asked what harm would be caused if there was a denial of jurisdiction and we had to come back again next year and argue the same facts and the same law all over again. And the answer is we've already been at this proceeding for 3 years. The NRC now is asking for another 1 year delay in this process. That is harm to Exelon. We want certainty in this process. We want our permit. We want to be able to go forward. We can't do that with the continual delays in this process.
That's only half the time that was involved in Simmons, though.
It's still long, and it's still harm to us, and that's all I'm trying to address here.
Is it delay contracting, for example? What actual delay could you like to? What harm in the delay?
If, for example, the court were to deny jurisdiction and come back next year, and then if they were agree with the petitioners on the merits, we'd have to go to hearings. And so there'd be at least another delay every year for this proceeding to go forward on appeal, another perhaps year of delay to go through the hearings. We're talking about another 2 years in this case. But that's certainly harm to us.
Unless you're a Homer Simpson, there's probably not a lot of interest in moving real fast on approving nuclear power.
Judge, I respectfully disagree. Right now I have 7 or 8 clients who are actively pursuing licenses for new nuclear power plants. And it's now a very big issue with the greenhouse gases. There are many companies who see a demand in power, increase in demand for power, and they are actively looking at nuclear power as a clean alternative for generating power. I'd also like to briefly address some of Mr. Lerner's questions regarding Simmons. I think Simmons is a red herring, frankly, in this case. If you look at the licensing board's decision at Appendix 35, footnote 77, the licensing board took into account Simmons and compared it against Citizens Against Busey and said, quote, we do not view these two approaches as incompatible, given the facts in this case. In this particular case, the NRC did not have a narrow purpose. It did not blindly accept Exelon's purpose for the project. It had a broad purpose. Generating baseload power is a broad purpose. It emits numerous alternatives, including oil, gas, coal, combinations of alternatives, biomass. All these were evaluated in both Exelon's environmental report and in the NRC's environmental impact statement. We believe that that general goal fully satisfies this court's ruling in Simmons. Finally, we'd like to turn to the merits of the arguments raised by the petitioners regarding Contention 3.1, which involves a combination of alternatives. In order to prevail in this case under the Administrative Procedure Act, petitioners must show that the NRC's decision was arbitrary, capricious, and abuse of discretion. And we don't believe they come close to satisfying that standard. In a lengthy 57-page decision by the licensing board, the NRC gave full consideration to each of the petitioner's arguments and found that they had not raised any genuine issue of material fact with respect to the combination of alternatives involving wind and solar power and fossil fuel plants. In particular, and this is the key finding from the NRC decision on the combination issue, the NRC found that nuclear power was environmentally preferable to the combination of alternatives involving the fossil plants and wind and solar power. In particular, it found it was preferable in the area of air quality, aesthetics, and ecology. None of the issues raised by the petitioners address this fundamental finding by the NRC, and therefore they don't provide a sufficient basis for overturning the NRC's decision. In particular, the petitioners raised several issues regarding wind power. They first claimed that the NRC overestimated the environmental impact of wind power because they underestimated the capacity factors of the wind turbines. This argument is just flatly immaterial. The licensing board considered that. In fact, it said that if you accept the petitioner's arguments on capacity factors, there still would be only a minor reduction in the impact caused by the wind turbines on land, and that impact reduction would not be material in this case. Petitioners also argue that the NRC did not give appropriate consideration to the fact that nuclear impacts more categories of resources than wind power does. Well, in fact, the NRC found that petitioner's argument was just flatly unsupported by the record, and there was just no evidence to support that a greater number of categories impacted corresponds to a total greater impact. In fact, the opposite could be true. If you had one resource that was very heavily impacted, such as air quality, that might overweigh all the other factors. In any event, in this case, the NRC found that in judging the evaluation or the combination of alternatives, wind itself would have essentially no impact. They assumed wind would have no impact on the environment. As a result, petitioner's arguments here are just flatly immaterial. It doesn't matter what the impact is, given that the NRC assigned no impact in their evaluation. Finally, they argue that with respect to combinations, that the Exelon NRC gave no role for wind in judging the environmental impacts of the alternatives. And again, that is just flatly contradicted by the record. If you look at the record, both NRC and Exelon assumed that wind would displace the gas-fired facility. That would reduce the environmental impacts from the gas-fired facility. And obviously, that would obviously reduce the overall impacts of the combinations. So in summary, we believe that the NRC did fully consider the issues raised by petitioners. In a well-reasoned decision, they found that the issues raised by them were not material to this case, and there certainly is no basis for overruling the decision by the NRC, given the fact that they had not raised any material issues. Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you, Mr. France. Mr. Lerner? Mr. Lerner, putting jurisdiction aside for a moment and speaking to the merits, you would call for a fuller evidentiary hearing.
We would call for an evidentiary hearing, period. I mean, the
I guess I want to know what it is, what submissions would be made speaking to, for example, wind and wind power, that was not presented by way of the consideration by the board when it made its report.
Let me take the two most important clean energy alternatives, energy efficiency and wind power. Energy efficiency, we weren't allowed to make any presentation. We would submit expert witness affidavits. Those affidavits and testimony would describe the opportunities through reasonable, cost-effective energy efficiency to reduce the need for that much baseload power. So you would have efficiency in combination with wind power and coal,
okay,
gas, and what you could avoid through efficiency.
Yeah.
On wind power, if you go to, and I think counsel just misspoke a little bit, if you go to page 18 of the NRC's brief, they say pretty clearly what they did. Their standard was the facility, the plant, must be able to generate power in the amount of 2,180 megawatts at all times. I'm quoting the bottom, page 18, the NRC's brief. Because wind and solar power cannot generate power at all times, the fossil fuel portions of the facility, namely gas or coal, would have to have a capacity of 2,180 megawatts. So what they wound up doing was saying that wind power may be clean, but we're not going to give it any megawatt value. As they said, The only thing that can be considered here is baseload generation that runs all the time. Utilities all over the country run wind and gas and coal together and produce power.
So is it your view that it's the NRC's view, as you understand it, that if any application speaks to all time or has that language in it, the 24/7, that precludes, by its definition, consideration of wind and solar?
Absolutely. That's what the NRC said. That's what the NRC did, because wind and solar, by definition, don't run at all times.
What if they considered it in combination, though, which they suggest, as I understand, they did?
Well, that's exactly what they should do, but what they did was, by taking Exelon's definition, they said we're going to consider wind power in combination, but in counting toward the 2,180 megawatts, we're not going to count any of it. We'll give it 0 megawatt value because it isn't running all the time. That's page 18 of their brief. It's all over their order. The fact is utilities all over the Midwest and the country run a combination of wind and gas and coal and energy efficiency, and that's how you run a system with a robust mix of power. What they've done, and you know, with all due respect, you can try now at argument or in briefs to try to gloss it over. I go to the appendix 34, 35. That's the licensing board's decision. They precisely took the Busey standard. They said, we look at the applicant's particular specific purpose. That's what we're going to apply. It's the licensing board order, page 19. Say that's what we're going to apply. We're not going to look, as Simmons said, at the general goal and the wider range of alternatives. Then there's some lip service in a footnote 77 on page 20 that maybe it's not totally opposed to Simmons. They said we're going to look at the applicant's goals. All over the record here is we're going to look at the applicant's business goals. Page 18 of the brief, must be able to generate baseload power at all times 2,180 megawatts. So by doing that, they excluded the two best clean energy alternatives. One, by not even letting us present evidence at all, that's energy efficiency. And wind power, by not taking into account and letting us present evidence on that you can run wind with gas and coal, energy efficiency like utilities do here and all over the country. I mean, that's the problem here.
When Exelon submitted its revised environmental report, what did it speak to incorporation of wind and solar?
They did not speak to energy efficiency, that having been taken out of the case. That's the biggie. That's number one. Number two, they said with wind power that because it doesn't run all the time, then that can't count toward the 2,180 megawatts. So effectively,
how do you, when projecting out the need to count the power to build the base, how do you do it with wind?
Wind power plants are going up.
Oh no, I know they exist, but I mean, if you were to project, take a particular site,
right,
and do you use the last year's climate for projection? I mean, how do you project the power for the next year or 20 years?
First of all, the industry's grown enormously. It's big, it's sophisticated, and so forth. People invest money knowing whether they're going on a windy site or not very windy site. For example, there's a 400-megawatt wind power site going up outside of Bloomington. I'm using that one because it's 25, 30 miles from the Clinton site. They estimate a capacity factor of 35%. What they've had is meteorological towers that measure wind speeds, the same way we do at O'Hare Airport. And over time, they have data that tells them how windy it is in year one, year two, year three, so you know if you have a windy site or not a windy site. You probably wouldn't site an airport.
So is your position the NRC doesn't, in looking at a full-time operation, consider that?
What the NRC didn't consider, and they said it, and this is the legal violation, they said we're only going to look and count for the comparative purposes baseload generating that runs at all times. So they said when you compare the environmental alternatives to the nuclear plant, we'll grant you that there could be wind power and solar power, but that doesn't run all the time. So as they say at page 18 of their brief, that doesn't count toward the comparative. So they're comparing coal and gas versus nuclear. They're not looking at what wind power would do. If you do efficiency or wind power, those are zero impact. I mean, that's what they say, again, at the bottom of page 18.
Well,
then you have less pollution, and the equation's different.
I understand the policy argument. I just want to see where your argument is as to the approach NRC takes generally.
On remand.
Yeah.
What should have happened here and what should happen if you reverse and this is remanded is we will have the opportunity on energy efficiency and on wind power to put in expert testimony, expert evidence, documentation that addresses exactly the discussion that we've just had.
Let me ask you this.
As an experienced
environmental attorney.
Yes, I am.
Has the NRC had occasion in other, if you're aware of it, cases to speak to the point you're making of not giving sufficient weight to this issue?
The NRC hasn't had, I think counsel will agree, the NRC hasn't had nuclear plant licensing proceedings for about 20 years.
So with the growth of this, the wind issue, they haven't had an opportunity.
And that's why Vermont Yankee, the Supreme Court said back in the 1970s, let's look at evolving alternatives. Over the last 30 years, wind power and energy efficiency have evolved a lot.
I'm going to have to ask you to conclude.
I might have 1 minute to wrap up. Just on the jurisdictional point, counsel's correct. There was a phone call and a conversation about did we think there was jurisdiction, did they would. It was left after a phone conversation, and nothing was filed. With Simmons, Judge, you asked about Simmons and how was it going and what happened. The fact of the matter is the Army Corps of Engineers on remand has gone back, taken this Seventh Circuit's admonitions to heart, and has supported a new alternative. It said to the dam project proponent, we think there may be a better alternative out there. We want you to go back and reconsider. That's how the NEPA process ought to work. What this court said in Simmons is that Simmons worked. More information, go do it right. A difference qualitatively on the ground as happens. What Simmons says, NEPA binds federal officials to justify their plans in public after a full airing of the alternatives. It thus blends a faith and technocratic expertise, what we've been discussing, with a trust in democracy. Officials must think through the consequences of and the alternatives to their contemplative acts.
We're familiar with Simmons.
Get a chance to hear.
All right.
That's what this is about. They didn't do that. They should be reversed. It's legal error.
My thanks to all counsel. The case is taken under advisement.
Thank you very much, Your Honors.